I'm sure you can hear me. I've never been accused of speaking softly. All right, my topic is John 6:35 and total depravity. And I would like to thank Bob for inviting me, but he's not here, so I can't do that. But I'll thank him in person later. And also, I want to thank him for publishing me in his journal. I've written in the journal for many years. And also, I want to thank him for selling my book, The Other Side of Calvinism, which he sold for many years. And I should have a book table set up later tonight, if not tonight, tomorrow, with a lot of different books besides my book, The Other Side of Calvinism. All right, Calvinism. Since I'm speaking first, and some of you may not be familiar with Calvinism, I want to begin by saying a few words about it. I know a little bit about Calvinism. I have read, and I used to own, over 500 books on the subject of Calvinism. And I have written an 800-page book on the subject. Calvinism is the teaching that man is so dead in sin that God has to irresistibly call him and regenerate him against his will before he can exercise faith in Christ. But all men are not eligible, just the elect whom Christ died for. That is the 5 points of Calvinism in a nutshell. The 5 points of Calvinism, the tulip, are total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the perseverance of the saints. Total depravity is the teaching that the unregenerate man is totally dead in sin to the extent that he has the inability to freely accept Jesus Christ. Unconditional election is the teaching that God, by a sovereign, eternal decree, unconditionally elected a certain number of men to salvation. Limited atonement is the teaching that Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, only made an atonement for the group of men previously elected to salvation. Irresistible grace is the teaching that God irresistibly overpowers the will of the elect sinner with his grace and regenerates him, granting him faith and repentance to believe on Jesus Christ. Perseverance of the saints is the teaching that all of the elect who have been regenerated by God will persevere in the faith and ultimately die in a state of grace. Calvinists call their system the Doctrines of Grace, implying that if you don't believe the system, then you are denying salvation by grace. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, let me mention briefly R.C. Sproul. Since we're here in Orlando, where I live, and near where my nemesis R.C. Sproul lived before his death, let me tell you about when I met him. Sproul lived in Sanford, just north of Orlando. He died last December at age 78. He was one of the 20th century's greatest proponents of Calvinism. I met him twice, both times at the Christian Booksellers Association convention. Once after the publication of the first edition of my book, The Other Side of Calvinism, that would be 1991, and once after the publication of the second edition of my book, and that was published in 1999. So the first time I met him, I showed him my book. He took a good look at it, and then he handed it back to me while asking me if I was an Arminian or a semi-Pelagian. Then the second time I met him, I showed him the revised edition of my book. He opened to a page and saw his name with me quoting him and critiquing him. He slammed the book shut, handed it back to me, and said, "You took me out of context." That's R.C. Sproul. All right, turn in your Bibles to John 6:35. John 6:35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Let me begin by saying that I agree with Calvinists about the depravity of man. The depravity of man is a biblical doctrine. Man is dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me," Psalm 51:5. Because God is holy, man is an enemy of God, Romans 5:10. He is at enmity with God, Ephesians 2:15. And he is alienated from God, Ephesians 4:18. The scripture hath concluded all under sin, Galatians 3:22. The whole world lieth in wickedness, 1 John 5:13. Man's first birth is no good. That's why he must be born again. But total depravity is not about depravity. It is about inability. Some Calvinists actually call their first point total inability. Total depravity or total inability is the result of man's depravity. Total depravity is one of the three essential points of Calvinism. It is also the foundation of Calvinism. It necessitates the doctrines of unconditional election and irresistible grace. If men have the inability to come to Christ and believe on him, then it logically follows that if any of them are to be saved, then God must first determine who they are, that's unconditional election, and then irresistibly overcome their inability, that's irresistible grace, so that they can come to Christ and believe on him. Calvinists think that for God to get the glory for salvation, man must be unable to accept or reject. God has to elect people to salvation because they can't respond, and then he has to regenerate them against their will so they can respond. And then let them know that he saved them, I suppose. In Calvinism, regeneration precedes faith. The offer of salvation is only intended for the elect, and no one has the ability to accept Christ of his own free will. I vehemently disagree. Amen. John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." There are three things that we see in this verse. Number one, faith precedes regeneration. Number two, an indiscriminate offer. And number three, a personal decision. These truths are found throughout Scripture. Calvinists have this circuit of verses that they ride. John 6:37, John 6:44, Acts 2:23, Acts 13:48, Ephesians 1:4, Romans 8:29, Romans 9:16, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Then they start all over again, the same circuit of verses. But throughout the New Testament, we see that faith precedes regeneration, the offer of salvation is indiscriminate, and salvation is a personal decision. So let's look at those three things. Number one, faith precedes regeneration. John 6:35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Calvinists put the theological cart before the biblical horse. In Calvinism, believing on Christ is the result of salvation, not the cause of salvation. Here's R.C. Sproul, quote, "The Reformed view of predestination teaches that before a person can choose Christ, his heart must be changed, he must be born again." Did you hear what I just read? So here's Sproul again. "The maxim, regeneration precedes faith, is a cardinal point of Reformed theology." Here's Lorraine Bettner, famous Calvinist. "A man is not saved because he believes in Christ. He believes in Christ because he is saved." Lorraine Bettner. Now, John 6:35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Notice, "cometh to me shall never hunger," and "believeth on me shall never thirst." Those two phrases, They show us that faith precedes regeneration. The coming to Christ and the believing on him precede the never hungering and the never thirsting. You have to partake of the bread of life to get everlasting life. Calvinism turns things around and says that you have to get everlasting life so you can partake of the bread of life. Well, if someone's already regenerated, why does he have to come to Christ? If someone's already saved, why does he have to believe on Jesus? Can a man be regenerated without coming to Christ? Can a man be saved without believing? Can a regenerated man go to hell? Can a non-believer go to heaven? Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." It does not say, "Be saved and thou shalt believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." In the Bible, now, perhaps not in the canons of Dort and not in the Westminster Confession of Faith, but in the Bible, God saves those who believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Galatians 3:26. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But also in the Bible, God condemns those who don't believe, not those who are not part of the elect. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 6:35 contradicts Calvinism on total depravity. Number two, an indiscriminate offer. John 6:35 again. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Calvinists maintain that the gospel message is only for the elect. The reprobate have the inability to respond. They may outwardly hear the gospel call, but it is not for them. According to John Gerstner, who was the mentor of R.C. Sproul, both the internal spiritual call and the external audible call are to the regenerate. This one call to the regenerate is heard by the ears of many unregenerate, but what they hear is not a call to them, but the regenerate. John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, notice that phrase, Jesus said unto them. This shows us that the offer of salvation is indiscriminate. Look at the previous verse, John 6:34. Then said they, and notice also, evermore give us. Who are the they? Who are the us? Let's take a look. Turn back to the beginning of chapter 6 and notice verse 1 and 2. It mentions a great multitude and then it says they. All right, follow down with me. Verse 5, it says a great company and these. Verse 7, every one of them. Verse 9. What are they among so many? Verse 10. Make the men sit down. Verse 10 again. The men sat down. Verse 11. The disciples to them. As much as they would. Them, they. Verse 12. When they were filled. Verse 14. Those men. Verse 15. They would come. Verse 22, the people. Verse 24, the people, and also they. Verse 25, they said unto him, and also when they had found him. Verse 26, Jesus answered them. Verse 27, you. Verse 28, they again. Verse 29, them. Jesus answered and said unto them. Verse 30, they said therefore unto him. Verse 32, Jesus said unto them. Verse 34, then said they unto him. Jesus was not speaking to the elect, is my point. Notice in verse 29 that the they of verse 34 can believe, verse 29. And it's not only they who can believe. Notice also verse 33. The bread of God giveth life unto the world. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God's offer is indiscriminate. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he was near. That's an indiscriminate offer. It's not made just to the elect. Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, God says. God's offer is genuine. Isaiah 45:19. I said not, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. God doesn't tell an unregenerate, unsaved man to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to mock him because he knows he has the inability to do it. The preaching of the cross, that verse in 1 Corinthians, it's both foolishness to them that perish and it's the power of God to the saved. Both of those things. John 6:35, Jesus said unto them. That contradicts Calvinism on total depravity. It's an indiscriminate offer. All right, number three, a personal decision. John 6:35 again. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. According to Calvinism, since men are dead in sin, they can only do according to their depraved nature. They do not have the free will to come to Christ and believe on him. Free will makes man his own savior and his own God, says one Calvinist. Calvinists equate man's ability to receive Christ with the ability to regenerate himself. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh, notice that phrase, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That phrase, he that, shows us that salvation is a personal decision. John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. These verses and other verses like them, including John 6:35, have no meaning if no one can will to accept Christ. The Bible doesn't say, if any man whom God wills thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. The Bible doesn't say, whomsoever God wills to believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The Bible doesn't say, whomsoever God wills to believe in him should not perish. The Bible doesn't say, whomsoever God wills, let him take of the water of life freely. The Bible is clear that believing or not believing on Christ is a conscious choice. The response to Paul's preaching was that some believed the things that were spoken and some believed not. Acts 26:28, Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." There's an old gospel song, "Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive." The reason men don't come to Christ and believe on him is not because of their inability to do so, but because of their unwillingness to do so. John 5:40, Jesus said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." John 6:35 contradicts Calvinism on total depravity. Now, in conclusion, let me say this. If total depravity is true, then every man's life verse is Lamentations 3:26. Turn there and I'll show you. Lamentations 3:26. Lamentations 3:26. "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Total depravity necessitates the doctrines of unconditional election and irresistible grace. If men have the inability to come to Christ and believe on him, then it logically follows that if any of them are to be saved, then God must first determine who they are, that's unconditional election, and then irresistibly overcome their inability, irresistible grace, so that they can come to Christ and believe on him. If total depravity is true, then there is absolutely nothing a man can do but hope he's one of the elect and then wait for God to save him. Lamentations 3:26, that's their life verse. But if total depravity is not true, then men can be saved without the other points of Calvinism, and the whole foundation of Calvinism collapses. There are many more things that I could say about total depravity, but I've limited my remarks to total depravity as it relates to John 6:35. Thank you, and I hope to see you at my book table.